وعليه الطيبين الطاهرين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. رمضان كريم and ليلة الجمعة مبارك. So what we're going to do today is we're going to do juz 3, and I'm going to start off by looking at the bookshelf. And if you look at the bookshelf, we've got the 114 surah in 30 ajza. So we've made the bookshelf with 30 different sections. And most of you now know the 30 ajza, the 7 manazil, the 114 surah, the 6,236 ayat, the 77,807 words, and the 540 ruqat. And as I've mentioned before, if you would like to memorize the Quran, and if you did just 3 ayat a day, just 3, then you'd be able to memorize it in 5 years, 10 months, and 13 days. So let's say 6 years, and you could memorize that. But we're going to focus today on the third juz, which is ayah 253 of Surah Al-Baqarah to ayah 91 of Surah Ali Imran. So if you've got your Qurans with you, we're now going to try and journal it. Journaling is, in essence, personalizing it. So we're able to connect to the Quran, we're able to engage with it. You've been with me for a couple of days, so now you're quite used to the way we're working. Before we start, always to be in wudu, to recite it. If you don't know how to recite in Arabic, start learning now. To start with A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, to say Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, to say La ilaha illallah, and the dua of the Prophet, which is 6 words, Walzam qalbi hifdha kitabika kama allamtani. Just 6 words. Walzam qalbi hifdha kitabika kama allamtani. So those 6 words you'd remember, which were what the Prophet actually said, Ya Allah, make me commit to my heart the book as you have taught me. Juz 3 in our bookshelf has Surah Al-Baqarah and Surah Ali Imran. You can see it's from ayah 253 to 286 of Surah Al-Baqarah and 1 to 91 of Surah Ali Imran. We put a knick-knack there like we have in all bookshelves, and this time we put Ayatul Kursi. So the first ayah we're going to look at is ayah 253, which is with which the Quran, the juz begins. So if you look at my Quran, you will see up there, Tilka rusul fadhalna ba'dahum ala ba'd. And that's all you need to highlight at the moment. And this is saying that, if I can go back, you can see it, that these messengers, some of them we have made to excel over the others. And here it's talking about the Ulul Adham prophets. Now most of us learned this in madrasa, the Ulul Adham prophets. And these prophets were Prophet Nuh, Prophet Isa, Prophet Musa, Prophet Ibrahim, and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if you remember these 5, when they say they excelled over them, it means that they brought the other prophets after them, sort of continued what they taught, but they brought a new code of life. It was no different. Tawheed was always Tawheed, Nubuwa was always Nubuwa, Qiyama was always Qiyama. But there were different changes in the way this code was expressed. So Tilka Rusulu Fadhalna Ba'dhum Ala Ba'd, and that's what you would highlight. Here we go. Tilka Rusulu Fadhalna Ba'dhum Ala Ba'd. The next ayah we're going to look at is one that you all know, which is Ayat al-Kursi. I mean, it's absolutely phenomenal. So I'm going to show you how I've highlighted it. So what I did was, I took this from the website, I've cut it out and I've put it here. It's a symmetry of Ayat al-Kursi. And I've highlighted Al-Hayyul Qayyum. When Sayyidah Fatima was asked, what do you hold on to in times of difficulty? She said, keep on reciting Al-Hayyul Qayyum. And I've written the in times of difficulty. At the bottom, I've put there, what can I hold on to in times of difficulty? Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum is what Sayyidah Fatima said. And these are things that you don't forget. You can highlight it or you can underline it like I did. I've put there Sayyidul Ayat and I've put really important, because it is in essence the chief of the ayat. When Abu Dhar asks the Prophet for an ayah, and he says, I want something that is, you know, the best of the ayat. What is the best thing you can teach me? And the Prophet teaches him Ayat al-Kursi. There are so many benefits of Ayat al-Kursi. But in essence, just like Surah al-Ikhlas, it talks about Allah. There are 9 sections in this ayah, and I'll just go over them very briefly. Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum. That's the first section. Now that goes with the last section, and that is why it's like a rainbow, which is Wahuwal Aliyul Adhim. So these two go together, because these two in essence are the four attributes of Allah. Then la ta'khuzu sinatun wa la nawm. Sina is tiredness, drowsiness. So drowsiness and sleep do not take over him. So you will see the last but one section is wa la ya'uduhu hifdhuhuma, because no tiredness, no sleep takes over him, because the preservation of them does not tire him. He can preserve them. And then you go to the third section, which is lahu ma fis samawati wa ma fil ardh, whatever is in the heavens and whatever in the earth belongs to him. And that connects with wasiya kursiyus samawati wal ardh. Kursi is divine power. His power extends in the heavens and the earth. Man dhal ladhi yashfa'u indahu illa bi'idhni. Who is there who can challenge, who can intercede without his permission? وَلَا يُحِيطُونَ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنْ إِلْمِهِ إِلَّا بِمَا شَاءَ. That goes with him. They cannot comprehend any of his knowledge. If they claim to have any connection to Allah, they don't. Only with his permission do they have any sort of connection with him. And finally, the middle ayah is يَعْلَمُ وَبَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمَا خَلْفُهُمْ. He knows what is before and what is after. He has a 360 view over everything. So Ayatul Kursi, my goodness, just recite it again and again and again whenever you want to. So that's how I've highlighted it. The other two ayat that go with Ayatul Kursi are ayah 256 and ayah 257. And you can see most people sometimes recite these three together. And Imam Zain al-Abideen said you could do that. But Ayatul Kursi is actually that one, but you could recite these two with it. And here I've highlighted La ikraha fid din. There is no compulsion in religion. Qad tabayyana ar-rushdu min al-ghay. No compulsion in your life transaction. You cannot be coerced now, because right is very clear from wrong. So that basically is what I've highlighted here. In the next one, Allahu waliyul ladina amanu yukhrijuhum min adh-dhulumati ila an-nur. So Allah is one who takes you off. And you know, Zulumat is plural. They're plural darknesses. And he's pulled you out of that into light. Maybe another thing you would like to highlight is Urwatul Wuthqa. Urwatul Wuthqa is like an anchor, a strong anchor, which will not break. He says, Fakat istamsaka bil Urwatul Wuthqa. If you deny the Taghut, if you do not follow anything else but Allah, then you have held on to an anchor that is really, really strong. Okay, let's go to the next ayah. So now, to be able to understand Al-Hayyul Qayyum, there are three ayat. I've picked the last one here, but in essence, they're 258, 259, and 260. So these are explanation of Allah being Hayyul Qayyum. If you look here, I've written there. They expound Al-Hayy and Al-Qayyum. The first one, ayah 258, and I've just highlighted Rabbi Alladhi Yuhi wa Yumit. This is when Namrud disputes with Prophet Ibrahim and he says, my Rabb gives life and causes death. He says, I do too. He takes two prisoners, kills one and keeps one alive. And then he says, Allah causes the sun to rise from the east, and you know, can you do that? Make it rise from the west. And he's dumbfounded. He doesn't know what to say. So that is Allah's power as Qayyum. The second one, the second line, which is 259, talks about Uzair, and you can see I've highlighted Uzair, where Uzair comes to a place, a town where the roofs have caved in. It's an abandoned town, and he's telling, how will you bring this back to life? He tells Allah, and Allah puts him to sleep, as in he dies for 100 years. When he's raised, Allah says, look at your drink, look at your donkey, its bones, brings him back to life. So he shows his life-giving properties. But the one that I've highlighted for us today is 260. I've got four birds, I've got four mountains, and I've put Arbata Tayar, four birds, and Ibrahim. So let's look at that. وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ. And when Ibrahim said, Rabbi أَرِنِي كَيْفَ تُحْيِي الْمَوْتَى. Show me how you bring the dead back to life. And Allah says, قَالَ وَلَمْ تُؤْمِنْ. You mean you don't believe? He says, قَالَ بَلَا I do. وَلَكِنْ لِيَطْمَئِنَّ قَلْبِي. I just want some itminan, some peace in my heart, contentment. So Allah says, فَخُذْ أَرْبَعَةً مِنَ الطَّيْرِ. Take four birds. And he says, chop them up, kill them, mix their meat together, and put each juz, put a portion on each of the mountains. عَلَى كُلِّ جَبَلٍ مِنْهُنَّ. Juz on. ثُمَّ أَضُعْنَا. And then call them. أدينك سعيا وأعلم أن الله عزيز حكيم. And you will see them flying to you. That's how I bring the dead. It's a beautiful ayah. So if I go back to my book, you will see, or my Quran, at the bottom I've written, Hadith tells us there's a pigeon, a crow, a peacock, and a cockerel. The pigeon is the love of the world, the crow is greed, the peacock is basically showing off, and the cockerel is animal passion. So this is something that you could highlight. The next one is Ayah 263, which talks about sadaqah. Now look what Allah says. He says, قَوْلٌ مَعْرُوفٌ وَمَغْفِرَةٌ. Kind words and forgiveness are far, far better than any sort of sadaqah that you would give, that you would then follow by making that person have to hear it all the time, that you would probably cause them harm. It defeats his purpose, he says. And Allah is Ghani and Haleem. And you can see how I've put it down. قَوْلُ مَغْفِرَةٌ وَمَغْفِرَةٌ خَيْرٌ. It's far better. The next ayah is 264. And he says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Whenever he says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, it's good to say, لَبَّيْك. So again, I've highlighted يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا in green, but then I've highlighted only this much in brown, where he says, don't make your charity worthless by reproach. When reproach literally means reminders to that person, hurting them. Oh, do you see how much I gave you? So he said, don't do that. Next ayah is 266. Now here Allah is talking about investing only in the short term will eventually be rubbed out. So if you only invest in the dunya, it will be rubbed out. He says, would any of you like that you would have a garden and all kinds of fruit in it, and then you become old and your offsprings are weak, and suddenly whatever you've done is ruined, it's taken away. He says it's a whirlwind with fire, it just goes, that means it's destroyed, all your wealth went. Allah says, we're making you reflect. That's what investment in the dunya is about. So when you invest in the dunya and the akhirah. In my Quran, I've highlighted it, if you look at it down here. And I've put, if dunya not linked to akhirah, then this is what will happen. So you could write that. And I've put down here, if you can see it, I'm trying to. Smart investments, those which are linked to the akhirah. So that's all I've put down here. Right, let's go to the next page. And that is Ayah 268. Now 268, I'll show you in my book first. It's Shaitan threatens you with anxiety and insecurity. So Allah says, أَيْشَيْطَانُ يَعِدُكُمُ الْفَقْرَ وَيَأْمُرُكُمْ بِالْفَحْشَى. He threatens you that if you give away your money, he makes you anxious, he makes you insecure, and he says, if you were to spend in the way of Allah, this is what will happen. But Allah says, وَاللَّهُ يَعِدُكُمْ مَغْفِرَةً مِنْهُ وَفَضْلًا. Allah gives you forgiveness and abundance, and He is vast and known. So in essence, it's saying, connect all your investments to the Akhirah. And if you look at my Quran, I've highlighted the shaitan bit in brown. And I've written here, anxiety and insecurity. The reason for not giving the best out of us is because that's what shaitan does to us. This anxiety of insecurity, of being able to grant something. The next ayah is 272. And all I've done in 272, because we've got so much to cover, if I can put it here, is there is a promised guaranteed return. And when you give, you only give to yourself. And if you look at Ayah 272, and I'll go back to it, Allah here says that وَمَا تُنْفِقُ مِنْ خَيْرٍ يُوَفَّى إِلَيْكُمْ. When you spend in His way, He will, wafa is He will definitely, you know what wafa is, loyalty. He is loyal, He will give back to you. وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تُظْلَمُونَ. And you will not be wronged. Next ayah is 2275, and I'll show you. This is a whole bunch of ayat, so we'll go over each one of them. So in 2275, I've highlighted riba. Riba, in essence, and I've written it here, exploitation, to control over those in need. Bay' is trade. It's mutual win-win transactions. So in this ayah, I've highlighted riba because he says those who take riba will never arise, never. But he says that Allah has allowed He says, قَالُوا إِنَّمَا الْبَيْلُ بَيْعُ مِثْلُ الرِّبَى وَأَحَلَّ اللَّهُ الْبَيْعَ. Allah has allowed trading, وَحَرَّمَ الرِّبَى, and He has refused exploitation of others. Now I've continued with these ayah, all on riba, and I'll show them to you in my Quran so you can see them. So if you can see the second ayah, he says, يَمْحَقُ اللَّهُ الرِّبَى. Allah does not bless riba. It will never work. وَيُرْبِ الصَّدَقَاتِ. But sadaqah will prosper. Giving away will prosper. That's what he says. So I've highlighted this in brown and that in green. And then ayah 277, which is talking about those who believe, who do good deeds. In the middle of riba, he says that. So in other words, Allah is saying that if you believe and you do good deeds, which means you will give zakah, then you will have no fear, nor will you grieve. Again in 278, back to riba. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. So you and I say labbaik. And he says relinquish, leave taking riba. Relinquish that which you have from riba. Just don't take it at all. 278, again, ya ayyuh. I mean 279, again he'll talk about riba. If you take riba, you are at war with Allah and His Messenger. So all I've done here, if you look at the side, I've written riba all the way down. And riba, and you might translate it as interest, but it's exploitation, control over those in need. I'm not going to go to the fiqh masail, that is your duty to find out, and you'll know what is allowed and what is not allowed. The maraji will tell you that. The next ayah we're going to look at is Aman al-Rasul, and it's absolutely phenomenal. So I'll go back to my Quran, and this is how I have highlighted it. So let's go to Aman al-Rasul and see what happens. So first of all, there are the core beliefs. Aman al-Rasulhu bima unzila ilayhi min rabbihi wal-mu'minin. The messenger believes in what was revealed to him from his Rabb and the believers. So what do they believe in? Number one, Kullun amana billah. They all believe in Allah. They all trust in Allah. Wa malaikati, and the angels. Wa kutubi, and the books. All the books. It's not kitab, it's kutubi. Wa rusulihi, and the messengers. They believe in all of them. And then they say, La nufarriku bayna hadim min rusuli. We do not differentiate between any of the messengers. Now this is a conversation between the believers and Allah. So what do the believers say? وَكَالُوا سَمِعْنَا, and you can see I've highlighted it. سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. You and I say, we listen and we obey. غُفْرَانَكَ, your forgiveness. You know, it's not like saying, I ask you for your forgiveness. If there was a fire, I wouldn't say, oh my goodness, there is a fire, let's go. I'll just say fire. So here it's desperation. غُفْرَانَكَ. رَبَّنَا وَإِلَيْكَ الْمَصِيرُ. Our Rabb, to you is our final turning. Then there's a conversation that Allah says. He says, لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا. And I'll go over this. He said, Allah does not impose any duty, anything that is beyond your ability. So that which they hear and obey will never be above their ability. Then he says, each soul owns what it has earned and is responsible for what it has earned. لَهَا مَا كَسَبَتْ وَعَلَيْهَا مَا اكْتَسَبَتْ. Now that's what he says. And then the believers reply. Said it was a conversation. And if I go back to my Quran, you will see I've highlighted the things that they reply with. Seven things. What do they say? رَبَّنَا لَا تُؤَاخِذْنَا إِن نَسِينَا أَوْ أَقْطَعْنَا. Do not take us for task for forgetting or making mistakes. Number two. رَبَّنَا وَلَا تَحْمِلْ عَلَيْنَا إِسْرًا كَمَا حَمَلْتَهُ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِنَا. Don't put on us a burden like those of nations before us. رَبَّنَا وَلَا تُحَمِّلْنَا مَا لَا تَاقَةَ لَنَا بِهِ. Don't put on us burdens for which we don't have the strength to bear. And then my most favorite part, if you can't remember anything, and remember this, وَعَفُ عَنَّا. Erase all traces of our sins. وَغْفِرْ لَنَا. Cover, hide our sins. وَارْحَمْنَا. Have mercy on us. أَنْتَ مَوْلَانَا. You are the one we incline towards. You are our protective master. فَانْصُرْنَا عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ. Assist us against those who cover up the truth. So وَعْفُ عَنَّا وَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَارْحَمْنَا. All the time. وَعْفُ عَنَّا وَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَارْحَمْنَا. And you can see I've titled it. And I've also written it down here. وَعْفُ, to eradicate. وَغْفِرْنَا, to hide. وَارْحَمْنَا, worthy of guidance. And I've put with AK, which is Ayatul Kursi for Hajat. If you have a Hajat, recite Ayatul Kursi and Aman al-Rasul. Let's go back to the Ayat. And now we go to Suratun Ali Imran. Now, if you look at Surah Ali Imran, I'll show you in my Quran first. Again, I've cut this out from or printed it from the website and cut it here. So it gives me sort of an overview of the whole surah. And literally, it's establishing a Muslim identity. In Baqarah, we looked at faith. Faith to history, there was this learning. And it's easy to learn something. But now it is making sure that it's imbibed in us so there's an identity. And that's what Ali Imran does. So with Ali Imran, I've started off with Ayah 7. And if you look at Ayah 7, and there's two words that you need to highlight in Ayah 7. One of them is muhkamat. If you look, وَالَّذِي أَنزَلَ عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ مِنْهُ آيَاتٌ مُحْكَمَاتٌ هُنَّ أُمُّ الْكِتَابِ وَأُخَرَ مُتَشَابِهَاتٌ. So what is muhkamat? Because muhkamat are the basis of the book, he says. They're decisive. And then he says, mutashabihat are those that are sort of a little bit similar. They're not that obvious. They are ambiguous. They need to be looked at as part of the whole Quran to avoid obscurity. I'll start again. Muhkamat is clear, obvious, explicit. If you look in my Quran, I've highlighted muhkamat and mutashabihat. Okay, so muhkamat, very, very clear. I'm going to move this on one side so you don't have to worry about it. But if you could highlight just these two. Muhkam, I've written there from hukam, which is clear, which is obvious, explicit, and they're the source, the foundation of the book. There is no room for doubt in it or difference in opinion. But mutashabihat are a little bit ambiguous. They're ambiguous because they have to be looked at as a whole, as part of the Quran. But look at those who believe, what do they say? So they say, kullun min indillah. If you look at the ayah, you highlight it, and I'll take a highlighter so you can see it. If you look there, right down here, they say, kullun min inda rabbina. Can you see that? If you were to highlight that, kullun min inda rabbina. So those who believe don't say, well, I don't understand this verse, so I'm not going to believe in it. I'm not going to be emotionally biased towards it. We totally trust in Allah. They contemplate and they know that they totally trust in Allah. So again, I repeat, you'll highlight muhkamat, mutashabihat, and then in there you will highlight kullun min indi rabbina. They are absolutely firmly rooted in knowledge, and they're known as those who are ulul albab. Okay, the next ayah we're going to look at is ayah 14. Okay, now ayah 14 is an ayah that looks at the love of the world, those who love the life of the world, and what we love in the life of the world. He says, "Zuyyina linnas." So this is temporal. He says, we have made it wonderful, or we have made it pretty. The love of desires. Hubbu shahawat. Now let's see how many things there are. So we've got five things here, and I'll go over each one. The first one, he says, is minan nisa. It is women, which means relationships. Then he says, wal banin. Banin is sons or children. Then he says, wal qanatiril munqaratin min adh-dhahabi wal fidda. It is treasures of gold and silver. In other words, liquid assets. Wal khaylil musawwamati wal an'am. So wal khaylil musawwamati basically is well-bred horses. In our case, cars with a status, right? Something that tells you, oh, well, I'm showing off a little bit. Wal an'am wal harth. An'am is cattle, harth is produce. So with us, it will be assets and profits, the yield that we get. He says, ذَلِكَ مَطَعُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. This is the provision of the life of the world. وَاللَّهُ عِنْدَهُ حُسْنُ الْمُعَابِ. But with Allah is the best goal. So these are short-term investments. So if you look at my Quran, I have highlighted it in brown, a little bit of a kichroza, I would call it, but I've put love of the world, and I've put temporal down there, and I've put some meanings up there. But I also put a post-it note, which helps me differentiate between the temporal and the permanent. So I will go back, and you will look at the next ayah, which is permanent, because he says, قُلْ أَوْنَبِّيُكُمْ بِخَيْرٍ مِّنْ ذَلِكُمْ. Shall I tell you what is better than this? So then he tells me what is permanent. And if you look at it, I've highlighted it in here, and it's in basically, it's three things. He says permanence is for those who have taqwa. Let's go back. لِلَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ. So what are the three things? Number one, جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِ الْأَنْهَارِ. Gardens that are fed by underground rivers. خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا. And then وَأَزْوَاجٌ مُطَحَّرَ. Soulmates or pure mates, no duality, those that have no sense of betrayal in them at all. They are totally pure within themselves. وَرِضْوَانٌ مِنَ اللَّهِ. And Allah's pressure. So three things. So if you make long-term investments, he says, that's what's going to happen. That's what we're going to give you. Now you can read 16 and 17 as well. And I've underlined those. If I go to my Quran, you will see them. Because that sort of tentatively continues this. I will put this away so you can see it. And this is what they say. They say, Rabbana innana amanna faghfir lana dhunubana wa qina adhaban nar. I've highlighted it in yellow. And then Allah gives their qualities. He says they do sabr, they are truthful, they are obedient, they spend in His way, and they ask for forgiveness. So five things they do, which is what you might want to call those who look at permanence or permanent investments. Those will last a long time. The next ayah we're going to look at is ayah to shahada. Now many of you know this ayah because you read it after every salah. And in essence, if you look at ayah to shahada, the first manifestation, of iman, shahid Allahu annahu la ilaha illa huwal malaikatu ulul ilm, is qa'imam bil qist. First manifestation is justice. Qist is justice. To put everything in its place. In Surah An-Nisa, he says, "Kunu kawamuna bil qist." They're steadfast in justice, even if it's against themselves or their parents or their relations, whether it's rich or poor. They will always, always stand for justice, and that's basically what Ayatul Shahada is about. So, if you look at my Quran, I have highlighted. I've underlined it and I put ayat al-shahada, but I've highlighted qaiman bil qis because I know that the first manifestation of belief is justice. The next ayah is ayatul mulk, and many of us know this as well. So this is ayah 26 and 27. Many of us know this ayah. In essence, this is talking about the overall authority, the total microscopic control of Allah. This is what Sayyidah Zainab recited in the court of Yazid. He gives the kingdom. You can see it here. تُؤْتِ الْمُلْكَ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتَنْزِيُ الْمُلْكَ مِمَّنْ تَشَاءُ. He gives kingdom, he takes it away. وَتُعِزُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُزِلُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ. He honors from authority and he humiliates as a result of weakness. And we saw what happened to Yazid. So Ayatul Mulk, absolutely phenomenal. Two things you got to remember about it: overall authority, total microscopic control, and that he gives kingdom, he takes it away, he possesses all goodness. Biyadikal khair, in his hands is total goodness. So maybe when you recite it, you'll remember that. That's how I've highlighted it. I've put Tanzil Mulk there and Tulijul Layla fin Nahar. The next ayah we're going to look at is I absolutely adore this ayah. And maybe you do too. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي. If you love Allah, then you will follow Him as though you're putting your footsteps in every step. What will He do? يُحْبِبْكُمْ اللَّهِ. He will love you. وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. He will forgive your sins. وَاللَّهُ غَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Now in my Quran, I mean, I love this. So I've put love manifests itself through emulation. I've put it all down here when, you know, the Prophet was said his character was the Quran. And I've put it in red if you can see. And I've put a heart there as well. I'm trying to find if you can see my heart there. Can you see it? There you go. If you recite that three times on water, it will inspire love. I've put writing there, ittiba, which is following in footsteps, asking for guidance in absolutely everything. And it's compared to ita'a, which is bare minimum. So that's the ayah of love, as I call it. The next ayah is from 335 to 50. Now all I've done here, and I'll ask you to do the same, is to know that this was the miraculous birth of Prophet Isa. And his miracles were there to jolt the people who had been mesmerized by an elite rabbinical group. So the Bani Israel were totally stuck on the rabbis. And here Allah jolts them with the birth of Prophet Isa. So you don't need to see the whole thing, or you don't need to write the whole thing, but maybe you could do it this way. So I've highlighted, Rabbi inni nadartu laka ma fi batni. So the first thing I've put there is that Hannah dedicates her child to serve God. Her intention is that she wishes to change a corrupt community. Ayah 36, I've just written, it's a girl. She says, inni wadaytu untha. She's surprised, it's a girl. And then you go on and you find divinity, Allah accepts it. In Ayah 37, he says, فَتَقَبَّلَ رَبَّهَا بِكَبُولٍ حَسَنًا. Allah accepts the dedication with grace. وَكَفَّلَهَا زَكَرِيَّا. And he charges Zakaria, or tells Zakaria to look after him. And this is beautiful. Ayah 38, I got to talk about it. So Zakaria goes to visit her, and he finds her with food. And he says, Kala ya Maryam, anna laki hada, where is this fruit from? Kala tuwa min indillah. She says, it's from Allah. Inna Allah yarzuku ma yasha'u bi ghayri hisab. And look at this. Hunalika da'a Zakaria. There and then Zakaria prays, Rabbi habli min ladunka dhurriyatan tayyiba innaka sami'u dua. My Rabb, grant me offspring, good offspring. You are the hearer of prayers. So when you want to make the impossible possible, this is the wasila you do. The wasila of Hunalika Zakaria. There and then he did dua. So this is how I've highlighted this page. That's basically the story of Sayyidah Maryam. And it goes up. I'm going to show you all the other ayat. And I've highlighted bits and bits from here. So Zakaria says, well, if I'm going to have a child, show me a sign. And Allah says, you will not speak to anyone. And basically it was telling him, activate your sixth sense. And then Sayyidah Maryam's being told, وَرْقَئِيمَ الرَّاكِينَ, another part of Salatul Jama'ah, where there's no gender, no color, no age at all. And then we see she's given the good news of a son. And where it says kahlan in Ayah 46 is indicative of his age, which is about 38 to 40 years. And then she says, she speaks directly to him in Ayah 47. So there's a direct, she talks directly to him. And she says, how will it be? And Allah says, إِذَا كَذَا أَمْرًا فَإِنَّمَا يَكُولُ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. She says, no man has touched me. Well, he said, كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. I just have to say, be, and it is. So you could look at this whole story, read it, and highlight the relevant parts of it. And it goes up to Ayah 50. So let's now look at the next ayah. So Ayah 51, and it's very simple. And the reason why I do this is because it says Siratul Mustaqim. And then we'll put all the Sirats together and talk about them. So if you look at the side, I've put Sirat. And this ayah says, Inna Allah Rabbi wa Rabbukum fa'abudu hadha Siratul Mustaqim. Allah is my Rabb and your Rabb. Serve Him. This is the right path. The next ayah is 54, and all of you know this. I think there's nobody here who doesn't know that ayah. وَمَكَرُهُمْ وَمَكَرُوا وَمَكَرُوا اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ. They plan and Allah plans, and He is the best of planners. The next ayah is 61. Now this is the ayah of Mubahila. So most of you know the story of Mubahila, but if I show you my Quran, I have highlighted it. فَمَنْ حَاجَّكَ فِيهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَكَ مِنَ الْإِلْمِ. If they dispute with you, these were the Christians of Najran. They come to Medina, they're guests of the Prophet in Masjid al-Nabawi. They insist that Prophet Isa is the Son of God, and Allah reveals it. If you look at Ayah 59, إِنَّ مَثَلَ إِسَىٰ إِنَّ اللَّهِ كَمَثَلِ آدَمْ خَلَقَهُ مِنْ تُرَابْ ثُمَّ قَالَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. The likeness of Isa with Allah is the likeness of Adam. But they still disagreed. So they were invited to a mubahila. The word mubahila, ibtihal, and you see I've written it in my Quran, disagreement. When there's a disagreement and you can't agree, you leave it up to Allah. They invited to a mubahila. That night, the event of Kisa happens. And the Prophet takes, when it says, Da'alo, come, nad'u abnana wa abnakum. You bring your sons, we'll bring our sons, Imam Hassan and Hussein. And then Nisa'ana wa Nisa'akum, you bring your women, we'll bring our women, said the Fatima al-Zahra. Wa anfusana wa anfusakum, yourselves and ourselves, him and Imam Ali. Wa nabtahil, do ibtihal, that means we will leave it up to Allah to do what? For naj'al, that he would, la'anat Allah, withdraw his mercy, ala al-kahdibin, on those who lie. Go back to the next ayah, and this is ayah 76. I will turn to it so you can see it. And it is really, really one that says, as one who believes, you have to fulfill your agreements. I'll show you how I've highlighted it. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُتَّقِينَ. Fulfilling agreements, بَلَا مَنْ أَوْفَى بِأَحْدِهِ. But then it's an eye of love. So you could put it in red, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُتَّقِينَ. Allah loves those who are God conscious. The next ayah, 378. Now, this is twisting of tongues. And it's really an amazing ayah. He says, وَإِنَّ مِنْهُمْ لَفَرِيقًا يَلْوُونَ أَلْسِنَتَهُمْ بِالْكِتَابِ. There's a party amongst them who twist the words with their tongue. مِنَ الْكِتَابِ, you know, أَلْسِنَتَهُمْ, with their tongues. لِتَحْسَنُوهُ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ وَمَا هُوَ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ. And they say it's from the book, and it's not from the book. وَيَقُولُونَ هُوَ مِنْ إِنْدِلَى. They say it's from Allah, but it's not from Allah. He says, they tell a lie against Allah whilst they know. It's quite important. So it's wordplay, manipulating divine words. Very many times we say things and we say it in the name of religion when it's not part of religion. So really important to highlight this and be able to understand it. I'm going to stop here, because we will carry on, inshallah, with the next juz tomorrow. I will try and stop the recording. Rabbana taqabbal minna.